This is a download from Channel 4. To find out more, go to channel4radio.com.
Previously on Lost.
Two players, two sides. One is light, one is dark.
Do you want to know a secret? What if everything that happened here happened for a reason?
We can't live together. We're going to die alone.
I thought I heard whispering.
We're not the only people on this island, and we all know it.
We have only three choices. Run, hide, or die.
Do you think we're being punished?
Every 108 minutes, the button must be pushed.
Guys, where are we?
Welcome to UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. I'm Ian Lee, and here, down the hatch again with my lab coat on, ready to thoroughly dissect episode 14. With the help of my panellists, we'll be looking more closely than anyone in the hope of finding any tiny clue to solve the mystery of the island. We'll also be taking a deep breath and reading through the hopefully sane theories that you've been sending in, and we'll be hearing how Geeky Tom got on interviewing Mr. Echo. Very exciting. You'll also find out how you can win Lost prizes signed by the cast, so slip into your lab coat, maybe put some safety goggles on, and come down into the hatch as we bring you UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. Panelists this week are Nikki, Paul and Ned. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, the question this week is, and we'll start with you, Paul, editor of Lost Magazine, of course. If it turned out that one of the survivors was an other, a bit like Ethan Rom, who do you think it would be?
Well, it's probably not likely, but I would love it if it was Locke, because that would be like the best game plan he's played all the way through, being like, no, trust me with the hatch and the island. And then literally, right into the show, went, nah, I'm evil, and his eyes turned black, and it was all scary.
Surely not impossible, because he's very island savvy, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he seems to have got everybody on side, and there's a whole trust thing. Everybody, it's like Hurley and Locke. There's people that they all trust, they all put a lot of time into, and you know, they're getting close to. So that would be absolutely genius. Probably not going to happen, but would be so genius. Love it.
Nikki, who do you think, if one of the survivors was an other, who do you think it would be?
I'm putting my money on Libby. I think she's dodgy, and she's got her, do you think her eyes are somewhat close together, or there's something strange about her eyes?
Well, that's not her fault though.
Well, you know, the others do look weird, I think. Okay. And I didn't trust her when she had that little moment with Hurley when she was trying to divert his attention.
Yeah, she is odd. Look, I'm suspicious of her. We may come back to her a bit later on. And Ned is here. First time, Ned. You're also from Lost Magazine.
That's right.
You're only deputy editor.
I know, I'm sorry.
Well, keep trying and maybe you'll become the boss one day. The same question to you. If one of the survivors was an other, who do you think it would be?
Well, you know, there's all the other survivors that don't get to talk and kind of stand around the back and push things. There's this ginger guy with a beard, and I don't like him. He looks funny. I think it's him. He gets to stand around and kind of, like, nod whenever Charlie says anything.
There were quite a few of the other survivors. Yeah. You don't see in this week's episode. There's one where there's someone roasting some fruit. He's roasting fruit. Anyway, it's a cracking episode this week. And the episode begins in the first Gulf War, where Saeed's intelligence unit is under attack from US soldiers. Saeed takes on the role of spokesman and tells them that the commanding officer has fled.
Son, we don't want to be here any more than you do. And your pal Saddam had to go marching into Kuwait. Here we all are. Pacelli here says you speak English. You ever do any translating?
Formally, no.
Hell! In fact, you know what formally means. We're good.
Saeed is told to find out from his captured commanding officer, Tarek, the whereabouts of an American helicopter pilot. The US soldiers soon realise, though, that Tarek might need a bit more egging on, so reveal to Saeed that Tarek was responsible for the gassing of a village that killed some of his relatives. They then hand him a torturing kit, send him back to the interrogation room, and this time he gets answers. On the island, Saeed finds Danielle Rousseau in the jungle, and she leads him to a man that she's captured. He claims he's called Henry Gale, a stranded balloonist, but Danielle tells Saeed that he's an other. Saeed cuts him down, and Henry legs it, but Danielle puts a stop to this by shooting him with an arrow.
You shot this man with no provocation.
He is
one of them.
Tie him up.
You should take him to your doctor. He's no good to your dad.
And then what?
You talk to him, say. As I recall, that is what you do. But know this. She will lie. For a long time, she will lie.
In the hatch, Henry Gale is explaining how he ended up on the island while Jack treats his wound. However, Saeed soon tires of his wishy-washy approach and persuades Locke to change the combination to the armory so he can spend a little time with Henry and some pliers undisturbed. Understandably, Henry isn't too happy about this and wants to know who Saeed is.
You want to know who I am?
My name is Saeed Jarrah. And I am a torturer.
Meanwhile, Jack is furious that Locke has changed the combination.
Why would you do that?
You were raising an army.
What?
And why you didn't ask me to help, well, that's your business, but there's only one reason to raise an army, Jack. And that's because we're at war. And like it or not, whatever Saeed has to do behind that door, that's a part of it too.
Saeed, unhappy with the answers he's getting, starts to beat Henry up, and Jack demands that Locke opens the door. He's got him up against the wall, and when the timer alarm goes off, Locke has to choose between keeping Jack out of the armory and pushing the button. With seconds to spare, the button wins, although Locke fumbles with the number and the timer hits zero. Some Egyptian hieroglyphics begin to appear before Locke hits execute and the timer resets. In the light relief subplot this week, Sawyer catches Hurley with a food stash and then enlists his help to find a noisy frog. In the final scene, we see Saeed talking to Charlie. He tells him he's sure that Henry Gale is one of the others because he felt no guilt in hurting him, but no one else would understand because they have forgotten.
Forgotten? What? That you were strung up by your neck and left for dead? That Claire was taken and kept for days during which God only knows what happened to her? That these people, these others, are merciless and can take any one of us whenever they choose? So tell me, Charlie, have you forgotten?
This is a cracking episode. I've got to say, the last two, not brilliant.
Filler.
Yeah, filler episodes, I think. This is a cracking return to form. Saeed's episode. Nikki, what do you think of Saeed now?
I have always loved Saeed. He's my favourite character.
But he comes across as a troubled man, but he knows what he has to do.
He knows what he has to do. He doesn't necessarily like what he has to do, but he has sort of learnt to get on and have to do things like that.
Paul, we get to see a lot of Iraq. Has your opinion of Saeed changed in this episode?
Well, I think, yeah, Saeed is a cracking character, and I agree with Nikki that what's great about the show is that sometimes I think the characters on the island, you can see them losing their way a little bit because they're not quite sure, you know, when they're getting more confused about the setup of the predicament they're in. But then an episode like this comes along and Saeed gets to basically do what he does, you know, and says to Henry Gale, I'm a torturer. Basically, what's great about Saeed in this show is that each character's got such an important part to play, and we've got Jack as the doctor and Saeed now. Well, why is this being brought to the front? You know, is it just because of the Henry Gale situation, or is there more to come? And I know the tension's really kicking back in now.
Yeah. What does Saeed mean when he says that everyone has forgotten the others? What's he banging on about there, right at the end?
It seems to be a bit like Ned was saying, there are story threads, so much story going on at the moment, Lost. It's a big saga, and I think that, in a way, sometimes they're referencing things the audience are thinking about. I think he's saying to Charlie, a bit like that, the clip show at the beginning with him hanging up by his neck, and it's saying, you know, the others, they're pretty frightening people. We can't forget they're just wandering around. They have done really crazy things to us. I think that's a reminder for us more than anything.
And also, at the end of last season, though, the finale is this huge big build-up. The others are coming. What's happening? Here are the others. Oh, doesn't matter. They're not here.
Why is Saeed so keen to torture Henry Gale? Because he's straight in there, isn't he? There's no messing around.
They're putting it out there that he's replacing, you know, his great anguish from Shannon dying with torturing someone else. But the fact that they're giving us that as a reason may not be enough.
Well, I think there seems to be a bit like with Sawyer, you know, the other week getting the guns and hiding them and being, yeah, I'm just a, you know, I'm a bad man, and that's who I am. And I think Saeed reminding himself who he is. I think he's with Shannon dying, and he obviously blames, we find out that he doesn't really blame Anna, which is interesting, because he says to Henry, oh, it was a mistake. She thought it was one of you.
Mm. Well, now, Henry Gale, who's man, he's
amazing!
Cool. Let's be careful how we attack this one. Do we think he is another, or is he, as he says, Henry Gale, a balloonist that's come across from Minnesota?
It could go either way. That's the genius of it. Is that it's just, there's that balance there of, he's a weasel little man, he looks scared, he's terrified, but he's got Saeed waving kind of pliers at him. I'd be weaselly and scared if I had.
And we've been told by Russo that he's not going to back down easily, and there's also, I wonder what Russo knows, because she's been on the island for 16 years, so maybe she knows something. Mm. Also, he looks really weird, and he looks like he might be dangerous.
You're just going on looks and funny eyes. I don't know if
he's
that's...
He's got boggly eyes. Come on, it's Hollywood.
Must be evil.
He's got boggly eyes. What do you reckon, Paul? Do you think he's...
I think there's a lot to be seen in that final shot when just before the door closes. Because as Neb was saying, it could go either way, but there was a moment when he's sort of creaking around the door and then the door's closing, and he just, there's something in his face which I don't know whether it means, like I've tricked you or I am an other, or whether there's like a third thing. Maybe he's not an other and he's not who he says he is, but maybe there's a third thing, like there's something
he really
in
needs
between.
To go to the loo.
Maybe he's, I don't know, there's a truth within him which just seems to be really vague.
The look that you're talking about, that's what makes me think he was another. I wasn't convinced. I thought that they were beating up an innocent man until right at the end when he does that look up as if to say, up your side, I've won this. That's what makes me think he potentially could be. Now, the sickness that supposedly killed his wife, if we take his story to be true, is that the sickness that we hear mentioned, the quarantine, is on the island? Do we know what this sickness could be?
We don't. We fundamentally don't at the moment. But there seems to be, as you said, there's a quarantine thing going on. And that's what makes me think that, you know, when someone goes, tell me the truth, and they tell you too much detail, that's what makes me suspicious of him. Because he is almost a brilliant performance in a way. Like, oh yeah, she got the infection, making Saeed think, oh yeah, quarantine on the lid of the hatch. So that's what makes me suspicious. He's too good.
I'm not sure about the sickness, because last season, Russo mentioned it would take quite a while. She said people go crazy, you know, you'd start to see signs of it, it would take a while. Whereas he said the sickness took, what, a couple of days?
She was gone.
And he didn't really remember burying his wife. I mean, maybe that's an anguish thing.
No, I disagree with Saeed there. I think if I had to bury my wife, I don't think I would count the number. I would be so emotionally upset and destroyed.
Yeah, totally.
And also, I'd want to get rid of the body as quickly as possible before the authorities got involved. Now, who knows, okay, trivia fans, where the name Henry Gale comes from?
It's from The Wizard of Oz, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the name of the balloonist from The Wizard of Oz.
Apparently so. It's Dorothy's uncle in The Wizard of Oz.
So why didn't Saeed say, hang on, you're naming yourself after the character of Wizard of Oz?
I don't know if The Wizard of Oz is that big in Iraq.
okay.
Okay, trivia fans, where else does the name Henry Gale come from?
No idea.
Definitely.
Well, I happen to know Henry Gale was also a physicist who worked in the fields of astrophysics and magnetism.
Hello.
Ooh, magnetism again.
Russo pops up. I find it a little bit irritating.
Oh, no, you got to love Russo.
Why have we got to love the Russo?
Well, it's like we were saying a few weeks back that, you know, she's been there 16 years. They've all been there like a clique, so she needs to be trusted in some way because she knows how to survive on the island. So.
How come the others haven't killed her?
Well, maybe they're frightened of her.
She's wily.
She's pretty crazy.
You know.
And I think she smells. She smells.
She would.
They would all smell.
Why?
I don't know.
Why does she take Saeed to Henry? Why him in particular? They've got a kind of relationship.
She knows what he does as well.
Of course, yeah, she knows that he's a torturer.
Do you think it's like a Master and Apprentice thing? Do you think Russo's thinking, right, you know, I've been here 16 years, maybe she's done this before. Maybe she's thinking, right, Saeed, I've picked you out of the whole troop. You're going to take him back and you're going to slowly find out what I already know. She seems quite mystical like that. I think she's got lock qualities in a way.
The thing that makes me think that Henry Gale isn't one of the others is the fact that he got caught by the old net ploy.
Or maybe he got kicked out. Maybe he's a rubbish other. He didn't pass his exams or something.
Maybe he's been put there for a reason.
Now, hang on a second. What?
Everything happens for a reason on this island, and he does seem quite a wily chap, and maybe he actually got caught on purpose.
That could be... You could be right.
But then why would he try and escape and have to be shot by the crossbow?
Maybe that was a dummy escape.
A triple bluff.
Nicky is miming a dummy escape.
As, very good.
He says that. Well, listen, we'll come back to the episode in a minute. It's competition time. We have three lost goodie bags, and one person will go into the draw to win the big bunker of lost prizes, which includes Bad Twin, a photo and a lost sweatshirt signed by the cast and Damon Lindelof. The question is, how many months does Henry Gale claim to have been on the island? Is it A4, B2 or C8 months? You can call 09011 111 080. Leave your answer, your name and your telephone number. Calls cost 25 pence a minute. Or you can text lost and your answer to 83188. Each text costs 25 pence. I'm Ian Lee on UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio, here with Nikki, Paul and Ned. And back now to... Oh, by the way, Paul, thank you for that poster of Sun. Greatly appreciated.
Oh,
that will be framed and put on the wall of the spare room. I'm not sad. I'm not going to put it in the living room.
Laminated.
Laminated.
Any candles?
There will be a Sun shrine will take place in the Lee household. Anyway, back to this week's episode, where the power struggle continues between Jack and Locke, and we get to see what happens when the numbers are very nearly not typed into the computer in time. Very quickly, though, the Locke... Jack thing. That's been going for a couple of weeks now, or building up over the past few weeks. And last week it kicked off when Sawyer appeared with the guns and Jack and Locke were going hammer and tongs. A brilliant fight again today where Jack's got Locke up against the wall.
I kind of, in a way, because I'm a big Locke fan, I'm all about, you know, about the Locke. But I think that I feel sorry for Jack this week, actually, because with the whole thing that happened last week with the guns, in a way... Jack was right in a way, in the sense that, you know, Locke messed up a bit and they lost all the guns and Jack's thinking, come on, listen to me, man of science, listen to me. And then this week he's thinking, Locke, you're doing it again. Locke, you're going to mess up again and you're going to beat up an innocent man. So, yeah, lose.
But then
it.
Locke does counter with the argument, you're starting an army, didn't tell me. And
Exactly. But that bit against the wall, that's genius, isn't it? The whole face-off against the wall with Locke.
Absolutely, lovely stuff.
Ned, the hieroglyphics that we saw, this is brilliant, because for the first time we get to see that if you don't type in the numbers, something happens, in as much as hieroglyphics pop up. We don't know if anything else happens. What did you make of the hieroglyphics?
Well, I had a look at the internet about these, and it translates quite something like die is the last one, or cause to die, or something like that, which is kind of spooky, and, you know, makes us think, what happens if he hadn't have typed in the numbers again? And, you know, what will happen now? Will everyone die? Are they going to save the world? Is that what they're doing every week now?
I'm disappointed. I would have thought that the moment it hit zero, it would have exploded, or whatever it is it does. It's strange that there's an... Oh, then there's a few more seconds you got, because then a warning comes up and stuff like that. But, Nikki, other symbols flashed up as well that it doesn't stop on. Did you spot any of those?
I didn't spot so many of the ones that were ticking around, but I thought it was quite interesting that the swan and the arrow featured in that, and we already know that those are attributed to two of the hatches that they've found. So,
oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Maybe we're going to see more of these symbols on other hatches that they find.
Why hieroglyphics, though? That seems a little bit... It's like writing it in Welsh, you know. It's a strange language that no one really understands.
Oh, it's sort of part of that whole mythology that they try and tie in, well, do very well tying in on Lost.
Well, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, the characters wondering whether it's a test, whether this, like Jack saying, oh, it's just a big experiment.
Because Jack does say, I don't think anything happens, to be honest. I think this is all a big wind-up.
Yeah, weird sound, though, when it went around, the big booming sound, a bit like, I don't know, like shutters were coming down or a bomb was about to go off, really scary sound that Locke seemed to be quite terrified of. So.
Now, Nikki, you've been monitoring the online experience for
us. Just give
us a quick recap of what this is and where you can find it, and then bring us up to speed.
Basically, we started off with a website where someone started hacking it. Her name was Persephone.
This was the Hanzo
Foundation website.
Okay.
So we know that they're behind the hatches and the Dharma Initiative, which is the main hatch. Then we found out that the person who was actually hacking the Hanzo Foundation website was a woman named Rachel Blake, and we've been following her it's about a month now. She went straight to Copenhagen, where the Hanzo Foundation is based.
Okay.
And last time I spoke to you, she was still in Copenhagen and some Hanzo goon had broken into her room and she hit him over the head with a big iron.
In a very convincing way, I'm sure.
In a very convincing way.
She's a good actress.
I was shocked. And there was sort of a lot of speculation as to whether she'd killed this man and all that sort of thing. And now, sort of 2 weeks on, he's broken into her hotel room in San Remo in Italy. So it's all getting kind of exciting. And we've seen the hieroglyphics come up in this parallel Lost experience as well.
Oh, really?
So after she got her room broken into by this guy in Copenhagen...
And this is all connected with the series. This isn't some fan that's just put this up. This is legitimate.
It is. It's been legitimised by ABC.
Okay, right.
So, and apparently some of the writers from the show are behind
it.
So once her hotel room got broken into, she fled off to Iceland because she was told about a fire at a place called the Vik Institute, which seemed to have some sort of connection to the Hanzo Foundation. She found out that at the Vik Institute, there seemed to be mysterious third floor where there were mathematicians running an equation which was based around the hieroglyphics, which are actually on the show.
Right.
Same hieroglyphics. These hieroglyphics spell out die. And so she spoke to the guy who was heading up the organisation that was running these equations. And under great duress, he confessed that he was horrified. And so then she finds out that there's this equation that they were running called the Valenzetti equation. No one seems to know too much about it, but that it spells the end of the world. And the equation is using the hieroglyphics that we've seen on the show. So
blimey.
She then goes off to Italy to try and track down Valenzetti. Meanwhile, the bad guy, Thomas Werner Mittelwerk, who's the CEO of Hanso Foundation.
Thomas Werner Mittelwerk.
Werner Mittelwerk. She's sort of still tracking him, and she finds him in San Remo as she goes to look for Valenzetti. She tracks him down at this hospital, and he's having all these crazy tropical vaccinations from tropical diseases. And she's already seen him with a map of an island in previous weeks, and so she's sort of piecing this stuff all together. And then about a couple of days ago, she followed them to a big dock, and she saw all of the main Hanso Foundation guys going off on this ship to God knows where, maybe to this island, but they've all been vaccinated against these tropical diseases. So,
and where can we see this website and
currently,
this film?
Currently, you can go to stophanso.rachelblake.com. And that is her blog.
Is there a link on the Channel 4 website?
There is a link. Channel4/lost.
Okay, put a .com somewhere in that sentence. You'll be able to work it out. You're listening to this. You're obviously a boffin. Okay, back to this week's episode, episode 14. Excellent character crossover in this, in that Kate's father is the US soldier in charge of Saeed's translation of Tariq. He's also the one in the army convoy at the end who asks Saeed if he's got kids, and we see him looking at a photo of younger Kate. Have I got that right?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't he her stepfather? Didn't we find out?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It's not a biological father, is it? No. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, in the episode that we hear that he's not Kate's real father, we see a clip of Saeed in a video that's being shown at the army.
Yeah, blink and you'll miss it, a clip, but it's definitely there. Definitely there.
Any relevance in this crossover? Anything we should.
Well, it would have to be. It was weird because it would have to mean that Saeed was kind of caught and in trouble. What, obviously, again, because that was the one we saw today was 6 years ago, so a long time ago. And obviously, Kate's older in her flashback in what Kate did. So maybe there'll be another Saeed flashback, which will be what was on the telly. Maybe in the future. Of the
it does get the timelines do get confusing.
I find it really hard.
Got to keep
follow.
On your toes. Yeah.
Someone will write a book that will have the timelines and put.
Someone has already done a website. Just Google it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Maybe we know Ned.
There
maybe.
Are.
And the rubbish.
I think it might be Ned's blog, actually.
It is.
Oh, really? Have you? Really. Anyway, still to come on UK Lost, we have your theories, an exclusive clip from next week's episode, and Geeky Tom will be speaking to Mr. Echo.
Since the dawn of time, man has been curious, imagining all that is possible. The Hanso Foundation, reaching out to a better tomorrow. Discover the experience for yourself. Go to thehansofoundation.org.
This is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. I'm Ian Lee, down the hatch with Paul, Nikki and Ned. And it's time now to take a look at the theories that you've been sending in. We'll give each one our full and frank opinion, and we'll try not to laugh if yours is rubbish and mental. But we'll give you marks out of 10 as well. Now, I've not read these. These are fresh to me, so this is very exciting. Theory 1, The Messiah Theory by Jazzle and Dazzle. Hang on a second. I've seen how this is addressed. Hello, Tom and Co. I'm genuinely upset by that. We think we've got the ultimate theory. Lost is all about religion and the epic battle between light and dark. Alvar Hanso is in fact the devil, and the Hanso workers, the others, are demons. From the Lost experience, you find how members of Hanso have done bad things, so this explains this. Walt... nice one. Walt is in fact a messiah from God, a new Jesus that has been expected by the others. The plane was brought down by them to capture Walt before his potential powers could be used against them. The Losties are all here to split into two sides, good and evil. Hurley is evil, without realising. And the numbers are devil numbers, the replacement of 666. Lastly, the black smoke is created by Walt and his powers in an attempt to save the Losties, and when he saw Echo, he measured him up to check he was a good man, and he was. Wow, Jazzle and indeed Dazzle. Nikki, we'll start with you. What do you reckon to that?
I actually think it's not too bad. I mean, I'm not much of a religious fan myself, but it does seem to draw quite a few parallels with the Bible.
Ned, what do you reckon?
Yeah, there's stuff in there. I don't like the idea of Hurley being evil, though. He's lovely and big and fat and sweet.
Paul, what do you think? I think there's some good bits and pieces in this.
I don't know whether I'm jazzled or dazzled by it. I think I'm more dazzled. I think it would be kind of easy to make to transcend it to like demons and angels, but if the show is going down that road of being grandiose and being, you know, the apocalypse, then that's not a bad thing. That's cool.
Okay,
that's
cool. Well, bear that in mind. We've got two more, then we'll come back and give it marks out of 10. Theory 2 is The Long Con Theory by Brian. I'm getting really sick of hearing other people's poor theories. Was I the only person who saw the Long Con episode? The writer was practically writing the answer in bold, underlined italics in font size 72. In it, Sawyer says, it works by getting someone to ask you to do something like it's their idea, but it's not their idea, it's your idea. So everyone thinks it was their idea to get on the plane, but it wasn't. It was Sawyer's idea. How many more times have I got to say the word idea? The pilot thought it was his idea to turn back. It wasn't. Guess who it was?
Sawyer's.
Well done, you're catching on. Sawyer's, of course. It was even Sawyer's idea to crash the plane. So, why has he done all this? Money, of course. Hidden away, he has a radio transmitter. So when the time is right, he'll get written promises of millions of dollars and then call help. The others are the heavies there to make sure no one escapes and signs the money promise. This must be a 10 out of 10 theory.
Oh, dear
God. Who wants to tear this nonsense to shred? But be gentle on Brian. Paul, what do you think?
I think the first, like, three sentences, I was quite gripped. I was like, wait a minute, because he's picking up on a theme of the show. Yep. And, you know, that the survivors have all been led there by a big ruse. But then you can't have Sawyer behind everything. Come on, that's ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
And why is he going to get money for... Why would he get it for crashing the plane?
Let me explain it to you. You've obviously not listened to Brian's theory. Hidden away, he's got a radio transmitter. So when the time is right, he'll get written promises of millions of dollars and then call for help. So
but why would he get written promises for crashing a plane?
If this was true, though, what was he thinking when the shark was attacking him and when he was shot in the shoulder? Was he thinking, oh, the time should have been right like a few months ago, you know, 2 weeks ago?
The final theory this week, theory 3, the Hanso Foundation is Everything theory by Juju Guy. That's a proper name.
Yeah.
My theory is that certain people from the characters' flashbacks are members of the Hanso Foundation and have decided to put them on the island. Claire's psychic, Locke's dad, Walt's mum, who isn't really dead, and many others. The monster is made of electromagnetic particles that the Foundation mechanically control by magnets, which explains the mechanical noise. The Hanso Foundation want them to be on the island so that they can test their monster and see how effective it would be for bigger situations, such as wars. The others were on the island originally to broadcast the numbers to attract people. Well, that makes sense, although they've now been deserted.
It's like bingo.
Yeah. Also, if your Walt being attached to a magic brain computer thing is the actual plot, I am going to be so very disappointed with the scriptwriters. It is the worst theory I've ever heard.
You won't like season 3 when Ian Lee's writing.
Yeah, exactly. Juju Guy, or Geeky Tom, I suspect. Nikki, there's some good bits and pieces in that, I think.
There are some good bits. I like the bit about how the monster operates. I think that could be reasonably close to the truth. We've seen a bit of this electromagneticism.
Well done. Yes,
approach before, but calling out the numbers. Is that a 42 I hear? I've got to go.
Yeah, Ned, what's that? The others are there to call out numbers to attract people.
Also, if you're going to test out a big, giant monster thing, why do you need a plane full of people? What's all the
surely you
could
just call it a reality show and load the people and turn up.
Paul!
Yeah, I really like the stuff about the people in the flashbacks being possibly Hanso people and being involved. I love the fact of Walt's mum not being dead. I've always thought that. I think that's a complete thing we don't know about. A big backstory we're going to find out about. That's just my theory.
I don't think
she's dead at all.
I wonder if he knows this.
I don't actually think that Walt is Michael's son. That's just my theory. Don't think that's true at all.
Okay, well, let's give the marks out of 10. The Messiah theory by Jazzle and indeed Dazzle. Well, I'm tempted to mark this down because it starts Hello Tom, but never mind. Nikki, marks out of 10.
I'm giving that 9, although I hope it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, I was worried the other week, to be honest. Paul, what do you think?
Give it a 7.
Okay, Ned.
6 for the devil.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. I'm going to give it 6 just because it's... that average is, what, like 7? 7, something like that. It's near enough. It's not scientific, but there you go. The long con theory by Brian, who says this must be a 10 out of 10. Paul, do you agree?
It's a 2 out of 10.
Mm.
Can you give minus numbers to it?
I'm afraid we can't. You can give a 0 if you...
I can give it a 0.
Wow, controversial. Okay, Nikki?
I'm a 2.
Yeah, I'm tempted to give it a 2. Let's give it a 2. It's a 2, there we go. And the Hanso Foundation is everything theory by Juju Guy. Some good stuff in this. No need to be rude, though, Juju Guy, to me at the end. That's disappointing, but never mind. Nikki?
I'm going to just bang it in the middle with a 5.
Ned?
7, I think. I like that.
Yeah, it was going to be an 8, but then it's a dissed your brain computer theory, so make it a 7.
I mean, I'm going to give it a 7. That kind of makes it a 6, I think. I think there's some good stuff about the Hanso people and the my theory. I'm going to expand on my theory, if I may. I still believe, despite whatever Damon Lindelof has to say about it, idiot, that Walt is connected to a super brain computer. I believe that there are two Walts. Takes it a stage further. Because of the bad twin thing. I think there's two Walts, and that one Walt is the good Walt, one's the bad Walt. They're both connected to super brain computers, and they're sort of having a battle. Anyway, you can see the top 5 best and the top 5 worst, I guess that means the bottom 5 worst, theories at channel4radio.com/forum. You can also send your theories to uklost@channel4.com. Address them to Ian, not to Tom, and try not to be rude in it. Now, sadly, speaking of Geeky Tom, sadly, we have had to get rid of our regular panellist, Geeky Tom, for being far too geeky, for starting arguments, and for ridiculing my Walt super brain computer theory. He's no longer allowed down the hatch. But I did feel a tiny, tiny bit bad about this, so after checking it was okay with his mum, I sent him on a rather exciting mission. Geeky Tom is being allowed to interview some of the stars of Lost, and we have the very first interview here now. It's with Mr. Echo, so over to you, Tom.
Hi, it's Tom. I'm on my mission to interview Mr. Echo, or Adewale Akinnoye Akbarje. I've heard that you chose the name Mr. Echo.
Yeah, I mean, the creators had come up with the name originally as Emeka, and when they brought me on board, I mentioned to them that I'm of Nigerian descent, obviously, and there's 3 main tribes in Nigeria, which is Yoruba, Hausa, and Igbo. Emeka being an Igbo name, and it's a different dialect. I'm from the Yoruba tribe, so I kind of wanted to keep it local, and I said I threw a few names out there, and Echo was one of them, and they loved it, but they'd stressed that they wanted him to be very mysterious, and so I said, well, you know, can I call him Mister? And they said no, because none of the other characters had a title. And I said, well, that'd be a perfect reason, you know, why you should have it. And they thought about it, and then they went for it, and there he was. He was born, Mr. Echo.
I mean, it gets very religious at points. You're practicing Buddhist.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, because that was probably the main reason I took the role. I was a little skeptical at first when they said a priest, and I was like, oh, how am I going to marry that with my own faith and beliefs? I said, you know, I don't really want to be compromising, you know, who I am and what I believe. And they said, no, that would be great because you can bring the flavor. And in all honesty, I took the role because I thought it would be interesting to study another person's faith. And it would also, at the same time, deepen my own because I'd have to strengthen it. And I wanted to compare them. And so often, before I go on a set, I mean, I chant. That's what we do in my practice. We chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And I chant for like 2 hours just to, as a step preparation, to get me in that state of spiritual awareness so that it will resonate whether I'm speaking as a Catholic or as a Muslim. It was something I had to get over, and I think it's worked.
There's quite a few episodes where you don't actually say a lot. You know, you've got your vow of silence while you've, you know, just, you know, the 40 days thing. Is that quite hard to act, kind of doing all the kind of facial expressions, and, you know, because there must have been a lot of work gone into those?
But I'll tell you what, it was frustrating at first because I didn't know that's what they had planned, you know. I'm just like, when am I going to open my mouth? So if you can see me, I'm fighting at every opportunity I can, trying to find the camera and just put on the right look, you know what I mean? But, you know, and I was just getting worried, like, am I actually going to say anything? And then I get a 3-page monologue.
This is the last question. Have you ever got all the producers, executive producers, drunk to find out what's going to happen at the end of the show, or do you actually know anyway?
No, they guard it with their life,
really?
You know, because you know, this, the modern world of technology, you open your mouth and it's all over the world. Yeah. I mean, one of the actors had thrown away a script inadvertently after we'd shot the scene, and it ended up on eBay. So for that reasons like that, the security is very tight, and that's why we get it only 2 days before. Yeah. They don't trust us.
I mean, that's how I'd want it. If I was an actor on the show, I'd want to, you know, it to be a surprise for me, kind of what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you less to think about. And after the first couple of episodes, you know, at first you're anxious to know, but then you just let it go and like, whatever. If I'm dead, I'm dead. You know, I mean, you just roll with it.
Yeah.
So it's quite a relief, you know.
Hey, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much for that, Tom. And next week he'll be speaking to Hurley. Competition time again. You can win 3 lost goodie bags, or one of 3 lost goodie bags, and one person will go into the draw to win the big bunker of lost prizes, which includes Bad Twin, a photo, and a lost sweatshirt signed by the cast and Damon Lindelof, who knows nothing about this series, it would turn out, if he's been dissing my theory. The question is, how many months does Henry Gale claim to have been on the island? Is it A, 4 months, B, 2, or C, 8 months? You can call 09011 111 080, leave your answer, your name and your telephone number. Calls cost 25 pence a minute, or you can text the word lost and your answer to 83188. Each text will cost you 25 pence. Don't forget that, like Paul, Nikki and Ned, you two could be down the hatch cringing at Geeky Tom's interviewing technique. I'm only joking, Tom. I'm just a little bit jealous of him, let's be honest. All you've got to do to come down the hatch with us is to email us at uklost@channel4.com. Now, for those of you who hate any kind of spoiler, put some cotton wool in your ears, as we're going to play an exclusive clip from next week's episode. What you're about to hear, Danielle makes another appearance, this time with Claire and the baby. Now, without giving anything away, I've seen this episode. It's the best in the series so far.
What are you doing here? You stay away from us.
He's infected, isn't he?
What?
Your child. He's sick.
Please get away. You get away from us!
You don't remember, do you?
We will be back next week, hopefully finding out what Claire doesn't remember. And once again, there'll be prizes to be won, theories to be ridiculed, and more of Geeky Tom's interviews with the cast of Lost, his next victim being the big man himself, Hurley. So make sure you watch Lost on Tuesday, Channel 4 at 10, then E4 at 11 if you want to be a week ahead. And in the meantime, you can get in contact with fellow Lost obsessives on the forum at channel4.com/Lost. Thank you to my panellists, Paul, Nikki and Ned.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There we go. That was very enthusiastic. Nice one. I'm Ian Lee, and remember, the button is bad.
Listening to a download from Channel 4. To find more downloads like this, go to channel4radio.com.